We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
You got to follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
You have tension. You can always make up.
Like, forget owing it to the fans to bring Antonio Brown back. He owes it to Tom Brady.
Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I would think so.
Yes. Yes. Love it.
I could see Kraft and Brown, yeah, you know, making up.
Not a chance.
Dunsky. Dale Arnold.
Everybody's so sick of the Patriots in the United States, basically,
that
it would make a good storyline.
I'm tired of all this winning.
Rich Keith.
If your kid was playing against the Patriots in a Super Bowl, you wouldn't want your kid to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Dale and Keith. Middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know how sometimes you feel an overwhelming urge to just confess stuff?
No.
Well, sometimes...
No, I don't.
No, it's gotten me in too much trouble.
Sometimes I get that.
Okay.
So I'm sitting over there in the little play area on the other side of the
studio. I still don't understand the purpose of that spot
either.
Of the studio, but we have space, and there it is.
Sitting over
for
there
our studio
in the,
audience.
In the play area.
That's right. We can fit three people comfortably.
So I'm sitting over there in the play area, and I'm listening to you, talking to Greg and Danielle and Nick.
Yeah.
And I had the overwhelming urge to confess.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Oh, did
I've never seen a single episode of Breaking Bad.
Now, I don't TV shame people because
but
I've always
you're about
this.
To,
well,
though.
Hold on a second, Dale, because my catchphrase is you can't watch everything.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that's out there.
We
Steve.
Try, but...
You just can't. There's no way you can watch everything. I would just say to you that Breaking Bad is one of the two greatest shows I've ever seen. And as you can imagine, I've seen a ton of TV shows.
You have seen a lot.
And
you don't leave the lair very much.
No, I absolutely love it. There are 62 episodes. They are all available on Netflix. You will fly through it if you start it. It is an unbelievable show. No bad episode, no bad storyline, which is impossible to do in television.
Better than Fuller House?
It is slightly better than Fuller House. I did say top two, didn't I, Steve? So.
All right, well, as long as we're confessing.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I've never seen an episode of Breaking Bad, ever.
And that's okay.
Yep.
But
so
I
two
love
of
it.
Us in this room have
I'm
never
surprised.
Seen an episode.
And it was one of those ones that this really took off, like the whole idea of binge watching shows and like having them released on DVD and catching up, because this show did pretty well for a while, and like each season it build and build, like a few more people would watch it. And by the end of it, I think over 10 million people watched the finale. Like, it got to the point where it got so built up because it went off the air in 2013. So it's been a little while. But over, like, 2010, 11, 12, people all caught up on it. They've done a spinoff show. They took one of those characters, done a spinoff show on AMC called Better Call Saul.
I've never seen that one either.
Which is, it wouldn't make sense for you to watch it. It wouldn't make a ton of sense to jump
in. No, I didn't see Breaking Bad.
Breaking Badder.
Breaking Badder, which is also
Breaking
a great
Worse.
Show.
Sorry.
And then now they're releasing a movie, which... could be bad because a lot of people liked how it ended. A lot of people thought it was a pretty satisfying finale. So do you really need to continue? And that's what they're doing. And that comes out like at midnight tonight.
So I probably should.
The danger.
I will
probably
confess.
Shouldn't dive into El Camino tonight. Is what
I would
you're
watch
saying.
It. There might be a lot of questions for you. if you start watching that.
Although Breaking Bad, because you've heard so much about it, that's one of two shows that I can't believe I haven't watched any of. And the other was Game of Thrones, because I rifled through those books as fast as I could.
I read the books first.
I haven't seen.
And I watched every episode.
I haven't seen it yet.
TV show is very good.
I have to start getting a little more dedicated.
Shame. Shame.
Yes.
or just lazier and more confined to my couch.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. I love just sitting on the old couch watching some TV, one right after another.
If I could smoke a cigar in my house, which I choose not to. It's not because my girlfriend doesn't let me. I choose not to.
No,
it's
a conscious choice. Yeah, I'm glad that
conscious
you made that
decision, dude.
Yeah.
All right? Conscious decision.
Just sit there with the vacuum cleaner and just be like, just blow the smoke into the vacuum and you'll be fine.
Oh. Yeah. Interesting.
Like that
technology.
I always am mystified by this, but I remind myself every year when we're sitting there watching the Super Bowl, there are more people in this country not watching the game than are.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing every.
It's amazing.
At that time.
They're busting through all the Breaking Bads.
That's true. It's a nice show to watch. Got a lot of good content.
So let's
there.
Get this other part out of the way. It was in the open there, and I asked Steve about this off the air. you caught some crap around here. A little bit.
Yeah.
When the Patriots were playing the Giants in the Super Bowl, and your kids playing for the Giants.
Yep.
And, you know, you were making a living as part of the media group around the in these parts. You've got the tailgate thing going.
Right.
You are a former Patriot, former Giant as well.
Right.
And there were actually people who begrudged your rooting for your kid to win a Super Bowl.
A small minority of people, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, who are these people?
But they were vocal.
Okay. That's very vocal.
And you know what? You can chalk that up to the fact that people were angry about it and people wanted to see the perfect season the first time. And, you know, and the way the second game turned out, they forgot that I... hands down, pick the Patriots to win that first one. I said, "There's not as much
so
as I,
everybody.
Most of us,
I,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
I said, as much as I would love my son to experience what I experienced, I couldn't see it happening. Not a way I could see it happening. And then the second game, I thought the Giants actually had a very good chance of winning that game. But again, it's how do you not want something great for your children?
Well, first of all, yesterday we heard somebody sit in that seat right there.
Yes.
Ooh.
And say...
Former Patriots tight end and Super Bowl champion Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh, I thought it was for you.
And, sorry. Nope. Oh. He sits in that seat. No, so Wiggy actually said to us with a straight face, speaking apparently, eats with the same mouth he lies with, he said...
Eats very well.
Yeah, well, he said that if his kid were playing against the Patriots in a Super Bowl, he'd root for the Patriots to win.
If my kid was playing for the Giants, I would not root for the Giants.
We've actually come across this. I don't remember off the top of my head, but we've come across this before in sports where they've interviewed the parents. Remember? And it's like the hometown team versus right. the kid that's on the yep. other team. And they go to find the parents and they're still wearing like the Cowboys jersey.
Right.
Like we've seen that. It's rare. It's not nearly as often, but we have seen that where and then the player just kind of laughs and is like, yeah, like my mom is a diehard fan of fill in the blank. And
right.
like that's just what it is. But I would think that 99% of the people
agreed.
Would root for their kid
is
in,
it possible,
that one, in that one game.
Is it possible that Wiggy was just pandering to the audience?
Possible. But actually, I don't know. I feel like Wiggy probably believed it.
Yeah.
Because he said, convinced himself that he believed it.
But he also followed that up by saying, you know, he wanted to win the Super Bowl, but when he won it with the Patriots against the Rams, and then he was on the Panthers when Patriots beat the Panthers a couple of years later.
Oh, that was even worse.
That was
when
insane.
He said that.
I played for the Carolina Panthers against the Patriots.
And you were rooting for the Pats.
And I was rooting for the Pats.
Really?
Now, he claims that he
now,
didn't try
any less. Now, first of all, you got money riding on it,
yeah,
right?
He said he didn't try any less hard, but he was like, that is his team. He loves the Patriots, and he was okay with them winning. I think he was getting caught up in that. Because I've also heard him say stories about how he was standing on the sideline when John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds at the end, and he was looking at Ricky Prohl, and he's like, this thing's over, and like pissed because they were going to lose because of the kicker. So maybe when you look back on it years later, you're like, hey, you know, good for the Patriots, but come on. You obviously wanted to win the
revisionist history.
Yeah.
That's all. You look back and say, okay, well, it worked out for the Patriots, so I should stay on that bandwagon.
And let's also see what happens. Maybe one day Wiggy will actually have to, you know, his son's playing high school football right now.
Yeah.
Play it forward. Maybe one day he
does play a nice player too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And if he goes and plays against the Patriots one day, we'll see if Wiggy really is rooting for his son or is rooting for the Pats.
But think of if you extrapolate that question, you care about the Patriots more than you care about your son having success?
Apparently.
No,
he's a big fan.
That's not true.
He's a big fan.
You can't.
But
no.
also part
he's
of
he's paying no to wait. No, Wiggy, Wiggy's a good man. There's no way he
plus
would.
Plus, the Pats cut him. Wouldn't he be right. pissed at the Pats? Like,
no,
why?
Yeah,
like
listen,
the Pats so much.
He got some rings.
You got
rings
ring,
can be, ring,
ring,
ring can be influential.
Ring.
But the fact is, I got to believe that that's simply just trying to pander to the audience. No two ways about it.
So I have some bad news for you then.
Uh-oh.
Because when you and members of your family gathered tonight to watch your son play at Gillette Stadium against the Patriots, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go very well for Zach's team tonight.
I don't think that there's that much of a chance. You know, you get 65% of your offense sitting out between the two starting running backs and then the tight end, right?
And Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. So you're going to have some issues there. The only real hope that the Giants, I think, have is probably that this weather can make crazy things happen. That's if something absurd happens because of the weather, if it's just a straight-up match, you know, let's chalk it up as a win for the Patriots and move along. But the weather, I've been in games where this type of weather makes crazy things happen. And that's the really, honestly, that's the only hope the Giants have tonight, which is, you know, if you look at it, if they were healthy, if the Giants were 100% healthy, they'd have more of a chance, but still aren't on the same level of the Patriots.
And, you know, Volan kind of overstated it. We mentioned this yesterday. He said, you know, Daniel Jones is like Joe Montana compared to the quarterbacks they have faced. That's not necessarily true, but he is the best of the group. They have not faced a good quarterback yet this season. Maybe you could say Roethlisberger, but he was hurt anyway and ended up going down the next week. But Daniel Jones has had a nice little start to his career. I mean, I don't think they thought it was going to begin this soon. Certainly that's not the way they talked in preseason, but he's been in there. He's looked okay, and compared to the Colt McCoys, Luke Falks, and guys like that, Josh Allen, he's not bad.
He doesn't seem as prone to the mistakes as some of the quarterbacks that they've played. He's very capable of running with the ball. He's very capable of escaping the rush. You know, he doesn't always make the right decisions. He's missed a number of open receivers, but he's finding a way to make things happen. And sometimes that filters down to the rest of the team. All of a sudden, you got a quarterback that's doing different things and making some plays. Now, all of a sudden, you're stepping up your game a little bit. But the fact is, their offensive line isn't great. Their defense is average, probably. They are looking at a building season. They're looking at the future right now in Daniel Jones, and they're saying, okay, we need him to get the most experience he possibly can. The problem is that in this game, you're going up against the best defense in the league,
right,
against the best coach in the league, with an offense that is capable. They haven't really shown it other than this, you know, they had three halves of football that weren't that good, and then they turned it on against the Skins in the second half. So this is definitely a learning year for the Giants, and it could be part of whatever they're trying to rebuild.
I'll add to what you just said. My buddy John Buchagras tweeted this out earlier today. Here's some numbers that, if you're a Giants fan, won't make you feel very good. The Patriots are 27-0 at home against starting quarterbacks under the age of 25 since 2001, the beginning of the Bill Belichick era.
So you're saying that a young quarterback is due?
Yeah.
Sure do.
That's overdue.
Now's the time.
You're saying there's a chance. Yeah.
The Patriots have won 18 straight games against first or second year starting quarterbacks, the longest streak in NFL history.
Crazy.
Yeah. And there's some good ones on there. I mean, obviously, you look at the AFC East, they've drafted really poorly, and there's probably wins against like Geno Smith and EJ Manuel and guys like that.
Right.
But, you know, Patrick Mahomes would be on that list too. So there's some good quarterbacks on there. And again, I think the future could be bright for the Giants. Yeah, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And again, that's if Daniel Jones can do it.
Right.
Three game start is a tough sample because look at Baker Mayfield. He looked good for 13 games last year.
I never bought into this that. Year, never bought into the whole Baker Mayfield. I can't believe anybody would actually buy into the whole hype about
Mayfield. I didn't either, Steve. I was the same way. I said, I sniffed
how
that
could
out.
You know,
you were, from the very beginning, you were saying, I missed it.
I'll admit that I was walking that same
you
path.
You liked it too. I know. He looked pretty good. Because what's the sample for a quarterback? For you guys, that you say, all right, at least we kind of know what he is now.
Year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
You know what? Give me 2 years. You know, rookie year, you can
like
make 30
starts or so.
Yeah,
right?
When coaches start figuring out what makes you uncomfortable, that's a big part of it.
Because everything makes you uncomfortable when you're starting.
Right.
I mean, coaches in the NFL can make you feel uncomfortable the minute you step out there.
Right, right.
But like when there's no book on you, and that's why, you know, Daniel Jones, you know, looked decent so far, but we'll see. And obviously, Belichick, those numbers prove it out. The young guys, you know, not having a ton of film on them, that hasn't really bothered the Patriots before. And that's also with, you know, those 27 games or whatever you said, Dale, are all different defenses.
Right.
This defense is as good as they've had since 2004.
And yet, against some of these young guys with very little experience, you don't even have to break out the whole defensive playbook. You can throw a couple of crazy Ivans in there that screw him up. Now, all of a sudden, he's looking for it. All of a sudden, you've got... You know, you do that thing that the Patriots are so good at doing, where they put six or seven guys at the line of scrimmage. You have no idea who's coming and whatnot. That, and you've got to make the quarterback and the center have to make the right blocking calls. You don't have to dig very deep to confuse a young player.
And was it the Bills game where they just determined, all right, every third down we're going to send a bunch of guys, like every single third down, and then they had no answers for it.
Right.
And they were like, even the Bills had to realize this is coming, but they just didn't have the personnel to do anything about it.
Well, we talked about this a bit yesterday, I guess. If you look at the Patriots' defense, Jamie Collins is a big difference from last year to this year.
Agreed.
But other than Collins, it's kind of pretty much the same personnel, but they look totally different. And I want to give Gerard Mayo a lot of the credit. The way he's calling this defense, I don't know how much of it he gets to do and how much of it Belichick is handling. It appears Diossi's doing the defensive calls. It appears that way.
You mean
Gerard Mayo?
You
know, and is he,
I'd be blitzing every time.
You want every single play. Yeah.
Is he just changing things up enough from that perspective that other teams don't have a clue what they're doing now?
The same thing goes for anything that happens with the Patriots. It's never an individual. I mean, obviously, word comes down from Belichick, but everything they arrive at by the time the kickoff comes is a collaborative effort amongst the coaches and even the players. Bill Belichick was the first coach I ever came across that actively sought the opinion of his veteran players. He's not talking to rookies, but he would talk to guys that are playing so he could get. And he'll never be able to see, as much film as he could watch, he'll never be able to see through the eyes of someone like Jamie Collins or Hightower or LT in the past. But he could talk to them about what you're seeing and what you're thinking in that situation. He actively sought the opinion of his players, which is it happens more now than before, but it was unique back then. He's been doing it forever. And part of that is the collaborative effort is the coaches, some of the players, and Bill Belichick. So by the time the game plan's there, it's never just one person that has their fingerprints on that game plan.
You know, I do think that the personnel, maybe we didn't give it enough credit, because I know we discussed this a little bit yesterday, but I think the personnel has improved a lot more this year. It's a lot of the same names, like, you know, the McCourties and Gilmore and players like that. But Jamie Collins has been their best defensive player.
Agreed.
Winovich and Bennett have been just as good as Trey Flowers was, because Trey Flowers is the biggest name that you lost from the defense, and those guys have stepped in.
Winovich has stuck out to me more than Bennett has.
Oh, he's definitely stuck out more. And Bennett really hasn't even played a whole lot, but I'm saying when he's been out there, he's been fine, and Winovich has come up with about 4 sacks. And also, Juwan Bentley was a guy that looked good and then ended up getting hurt, and so you have another athletic linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, they can throw out so many linebackers out there, and oh, you're going to throw to the tight end? Fine, we'll cover the tight end. Oh, you want to throw to the running back? They can cover the running back. They can also blitz and get after the quarterback. So those guys they're much more athletic this year on defense than they
Agreed.
Were in the past.
And the position that you've been in defensively, you can basically take some chances. You can ignore the idea that they might try to run the ball. It's a lot easier to play defense when you're up by 25 points than it is in a tight game. But we've seen them play very good defense in a tight game. Buffalo was a tight game.
Right.
They played very good defense there. The first half of the Redskins game, Redskins only come up with what, 7 points. I mean, it's they can do that. But that's why you see a guy like Winovich, because they put him in positions. Belichick's always done this, and he's talked about it, is putting his players in a position to succeed. That's what they've done with guys like Winovich.
Steve Diossi's in the house. Patriots and Giants tonight at Gillette Stadium. It'll be a lovely night to go to a football game.
Seems like it'll be fun.
Very, very pleasant.
Yep.
I'm sure. You know, you don't need rain gear or anything like that.
You know how dull my life is?
You should dress up like the Gorton's fisherman tonight. You know, see when you get out there.
You know I was going through my closet today, and I found my L.L. Bean duck boots. I'm like, ah, yes.
Yes.
I get to wear my duck boots. I'm like, and I'm sitting there. My girlfriend's looking at me. She's like, you're excited about that? I'm like, I haven't worn them in 2 years.
I'm going to have dry feet at the game tonight.
Steve Diossi
got some fluffy socks on and everything.
Steve Diossi is, I get to wear my duck boots years old.
He's excited.
I know, right?
He's excited.
Jeez.
617-779-7937. Peter King will join us at 11:30. We'll talk a lot of football today, obviously. We've got some other things that we'll throw in there as well. Nice job by the Dodgers last night.
Whoops.
What was Dave Roberts thinking? No, I'll amend that. Why wasn't he thinking? We'll get to that as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Diossi.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to trend.
Strongest wind will happen this evening and tonight. We've got high wind warnings for the Cape and Islands for some gusts 50 to 60 miles per hour. And wind advisories for southeastern Massachusetts. That's where we'll see some gusts 40 to 50 miles per hour.
It'll be fine. You've got your duck boots.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to work on the motorcycle, so that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please tell me you're going to take the bike down there. Please tell
rain
me.
Rain or shine. That's how they ride.
I'm dumb. I'm not stupid.
I know. I right? got it. By the way, one quick baseball note. We'll get right back to what we were talking about. A former Red Sox player is no longer a manager. But it's not Dave Roberts.
No.
Well, despite what happened last night, it's not Dave Roberts yet.
Let's see what happens with Dave Roberts.
Gabe Kapler apparently fired as manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He had an interesting start to his managing career. Had some issues. Couldn't remember who was supposed to bring in. And
yeah, there's some rules issues there. But easy come, easy go. 2 years with the Phillies. 2 games under .500. He won one more game this year than he did last year, but not good enough to keep him around.
Nope. Oh, when you said Red Sox news, I thought it was Mookie Betts signing with the Dodgers.
No, not yet.
Free agency isn't not open yet.
All right, just
maybe they get traded there.
So
first.
Yesterday on OMF, I listened with rapt attention to Benjamin Watson, who joined them.
Yep.
Now, I've only talked to Ben a few times. When he was here the first time, he was on the show a couple of times. Always seemed like an outstanding person. Just people Agreed. Who know him, people around the league who know him much better than I do, say he's one of the best people that they've ever dealt with. And you could tell that just listening to him with OMF. Wouldn't take shots, wouldn't, you know, shirk responsibility.
Right.
And I said, yeah, I wish I'd been good enough to get a roster spot here, but I wasn't.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you listen to guys and in all sports and politics or whatever, and you listen to them talk and you know that they're saying their talking points or they're saying that what they want you to, what they think you want to hear or whatever. That's not Ben Watson. He's talking from the heart. He always has. I've known him since he was a rookie here and had a number of chances to speak with him. He is that guy. He spoke the truth of what he believes, and he's not a guy that's going to go out blowing up bridges on his way out the door.
What do you think the main reason was that he got let go?
I gotta believe that it was salary cap issue to try to find ways to build up what's a short supply of salary cap money
because they need help.
They do.
I mean, right, as good as they are, they know that they're going to have to add somebody.
So they definitely need help, but some could have thought that he would have been part of the help.
Yes.
Right? And so even if he's better than Lacoste and Izzo, my guess is that Belichick didn't think he was that significant of an upgrade. Therefore, the $2 million is worth more than the slight upgrade at the spot.
But it depends also on what that $2 million, what kind of flexibility that gives you in seeking out maybe a better tight end or maybe a receiver that could help the team more. I think it was maybe a reflection on Ben some, but I think it was more the idea that can we get something to help this team with that $2 million right. than we can with Ben Watson. And I think Ben sounded like he understood that. He understands that. I mean, you're never okay with something like that. But
no, but what a series of events for him, though, when you think about it. It's not just, you know, guys get cut in the NFL all the time. That's part of the deal, and Ben Watson
and
knows
that.
He said so as much.
Yeah.
But not everybody comes out of retirement, signs with the team that drafted him, gets busted for a banned substance, mm-hmm. has to serve a 4-game suspension, plays in the preseason, gets a concussion, sits out the 4 weeks because he has to, then when he's able to be activated, misses that game, and then it comes down to the wire from when they have to make a move, and then they cut him. That is a brutal series of events for him personally.
He actually talked with OMF yesterday about what brought him out of retirement.
I mean, you know, part of the reason for coming here was to play with him again and to spend time with him, you know, in the locker room, but also to take the field and, you know, go out there and compete with him because he really is the ultimate competitor, and it meant a lot. It meant a whole lot to me to hear him say that publicly the other day. So no, I think he definitely was. Look, we joke all the time, you know, in practice about being the old guys, and it's funny, but there is kind of a pride that you have being an older player in this league. And look, the way he's playing, he's going to be much older than anybody that ever played this in the league and still going to be playing at a high level. You know, I see him playing for as long as he wants to, the way he's playing. So, you know, it was a privilege. You know, if we don't get to play in a game, a regular season game together, it was a privilege to be out there with them in the preseason as well as in practice.
Needless to say, he was talking about Tom Brady.
Right, obviously. And Brady spoke so glowingly about him and how he missed him already when he was asked at the press conference on whatever day it was. Was it Monday that mm-hmm. they spoke yep. this week because of how the whole week broke out? But he really wanted Benjamin Watson, loved the person. He was yep. talking about how, you know, close the families even are and all the other stuff. So he's going to miss him. But that just has to lead to another player coming in here, because you don't do that
Agreed.
Move for nothing, because that is maybe the weakest position, maybe outside of kicker, that they have on the entire roster.
What do you mean? They've got two kickers.
They have two. Good the point. Weakest. I didn't say they're you know, the thinnest. They're the weakest. And so it made all the sense in the world. Like, all right, you get this guy in here, and either you cut one of those tight ends or you keep three of them or whatever, and that's what you're going to do. But the roster flexibility they need open, because they are going to be a player. I was reading Gil Brandt on NFL.com had his five teams that A.J. Green could get traded to. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots were number one. You know, Stephon Diggs, we've been hoping about that one. Emmanuel Sanders, hoping about that one. No matter who it is, you're going to have to create cap space. You're probably going to have to sign a couple of guys to an extension. And then in this case, Benjamin Watson, that was an easy one for them if it's just about the money.
And it's very probable that with that money saved, there's no plan in place for it. It's just understanding that you're going to need some of that money.
Right.
And then now you got to see if whatever they end up with is an upgrade from what Ben Watson could have brought to the team.
I mean, don't you believe, I do anyway, that Nick Caserio's on the phone virtually every single day. He knows that they've got some needs. I'm sure he's out there beating the bushes. Hey, would you consider moving A.J. Green? Would you consider moving Stephon Diggs? What would it take to get O.J. Howard? All of those names that we've seen bandied about. So he knows they're out there trying to shake something mm-hmm. out of the trees. So he's thinking, well, we better have some money if we do.
Right. But part of that is, and I'm sure Nick understands that too, is that you can't go out there and be too desperate, because now the price goes up.
Right.
So it's a fine line that he has to tread to walk, because if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you hear from Nick Caserio every other day. All of a sudden, you're saying, well, let's
hey, Nick, cool it.
And the problem there is the value of your first round pick is not as good as the value of many other teams.
Yeah.
27, 26 other teams, because, you know, there's probably, you know, 24 teams that could finish less than 8-8. I mean, it's just one of those.
But they are as busy a team around the deadline as any in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they'll trade away guys. I mean, all of a sudden, Jamie Collins is gone. Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. Like, those guys were all on the team mid-season and then dealt away. They brought in Aqib Talib 1 year. Like, they'll make big-time moves at the deadline and guys that can really help them. And it just seems like this will be another year where that happens. Who? I mean, that obviously remains to be seen, but I think that was, they sort of tipped their hand a little bit as, all right, we're going to create some space, because it's not like Lacoste is lighting up the world, not like Ryan Izzo is. We were talking a lot about, you know, Tom Brady's comments about those guys this week, where he wouldn't say, they were trying to force him to say something nice about him, and he wouldn't do it. So he was not going to bite on that. He was not going to lie to the media and say, yeah, these guys are great and they're improving every day. Wouldn't even do that.
I'm a quarterback, so.
I'll just, whoever's out there is out there. Like, yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if they thought they were, you know, down the road towards making, and I'm just using Diggs as the example.
Sure.
If they were down the road towards making a Stephon Diggs some sort of a deal, then they probably are already thinking about, all right, how do we pay this? You know, how do we move things around? And one could be, we let Ben Watson go.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's an easy start, right? And then the rest of it is, and I think Boston Sports Journal was writing about it too, you know, you give Kyle Van Noy an extension. That lowers the
cap
number.
Which makes sense anyway.
Right. I think maybe, was it one of the McCourty? I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys you can go down, and some of them are real extensions. Some of them might be kind of fake extensions. You know,
yeah,
Tom Brady.
We don't even know if the McCourtys want to play again.
Right.
There
was
questions about whether they were going to play this year.
There was. Tom Brady got an extension, you know, wink, wink,
sort
this
of.
Year. Remember?
Yeah.
Even though next year's money is not guaranteed, and it's a void year and all this other stuff, but you could still manipulate it that way. So maybe that'll be the next thing we hear in the next couple of weeks, that these other guys have agreed to extensions, and then now you're putting yourself in a spot where you have $8 million in cap space, and oh, look who fits in perfectly is, you know, receiver X.
So should I tell you what that noted football insider Mo Chanel said last night?
Yes, please.
You love this Mo Chanel.
Yes,
this
we
is Dale's,
do.
This is Dale's favorite guy.
Yes, we do.
It's what he tweeted out last night. I'm quoting, okay? I'm hearing from my sources that Antonio Brown will indeed be rejoining the Patriots.
Love it.
It's
love it.
Just a matter of time and contract issues that at Rosenhaus Sports and the Patriots need to work out.
Yeah, once they iron that out, he's back.
Okay, but which one
he
of his sources...
He has a contract, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, no, he's a free agent.
Yeah. Which one of those sources? Is it his barber or his mechanic?
Mailman
Because
talks.
I trust the barber.
Yeah, you like mechanic, him. Because he's
mechanic's
hearing
been
people
wrong,
all day. No, that's
right?
True.
Which one of your good sources?
Right? Is this his Minka Fitzpatrick source? Because he nailed that one.
Yeah,
that's
he did.
That's the one he nailed. And then he got a whole bunch of other ones wrong.
A scoop is a scoop. You know, if you have that scoop.
Well, all of a sudden, when I told you what his scoop was last night, you kind of liked him a little more.
I don't listen to this guy. would you want...
unless he says something I like.
Would you take Antonio Brown back, Steve?
I'd have to review.
That's a yes.
I'd have to review the recent developments on the case in Florida. Mm-hmm. I'd have to, you know, dig into that a little bit.
See, Wiggy was adamant yesterday. Wanted to know why the NFL didn't just say, "All right, we've completed our investigation," because they were investigating the Brittany Taylor allegations.
Right.
We've completed our investigation, but they don't. Until the legal case is done.
Right.
It's exactly what they did with Tyreek Hill. They waited until the DA said, look, we're not going to charge him because, you know, we can't determine who injured the kid. As soon as the DA did that, a month later, the NFL says, okay, he's not going to be suspended.
Well, then shouldn't the team bring him in then? Because when we were talking to Michael McCann about it a while ago, that civil case might take a year, two, three years.
Well, that's the thing you're talking about.
So if you're really waiting for that, then couldn't he play?
Tyreek Hill was involved the DA. It was a legal scenario.
While this is not criminal, it's civil, it's still a legal case.
And it's a hot button issue. You could re-sign Antonio Brown and then have the NFL just say, yeah, well, now he's exempt.
Yeah, and I wonder what the grounds would be to put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
Cause whatever they want. You know, the NFL can do whatever they want.
They can, and they have in the past, but then you're kind of setting the precedent, aren't you?
If Brown goes on it now. I think the text chain alone is basis to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. That alone.
That was out there.
So the Tyreek Hill phone call to his girlfriend was not. That didn't put him on it. He didn't get a single bit of punishment. And he verbally threatened her. And then this is threatening texts. And then now that gets put. I don't know. I just think they've looked the other way on some things here recently that I don't know what. If they did this with Antonio Brown, I think he might even have a case to have a file another grievance added to the list of grievances.
I wouldn't. The only reason I wouldn't do it is because I think the NFL would not allow him to play anyway, and it'd be a wasted effort. And now you have different cap issues, so you have to go after a guy that doesn't bring that kind of baggage with him.
All right, let's get right to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Steve DeAussie's in the house with us. Peter King will join us at 11:30. Your call's coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
617-779-7937. As we get to the calls and talk about the Patriots and Giants tonight at Gillette, I will give you this number from Elias Sports. Tonight's matchup between Tom Brady at 42 and Daniel Jones at 22 is the second biggest age gap between starting quarterbacks since the merger.
Mm.
The only other one that was larger was Tom Brady and Sam Darnold last year.
Yeah, sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Best of luck to you, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Hope things don't go so well. All right, let's get to the calls. Dave's in Andover. Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, guys, what's good?
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, two quick points. Looking at the Pats receiver corps, it's really bad. And you'd have to be a total idiot or a blind guy to think the receivers are good. So I think the Pats should go get Stephon Diggs or A.J. Green. Do you think that's a good idea?
I would love to get one of those guys, absolutely. I think the receiving core is kind of more middle of the pack. I don't think it sucks.
Yeah, they're not,
you
they're
still
not
got
terrible.
Julian Edelman.
Yep.
You got Julian Edelman. Josh Gordon is not what he was, but he's also
I mean, you
not
don't have Dorsett tonight.
Tonight, but overall.
Generally.
Yeah, and that's why
right.
You can't go from, in my mind, the best wide receiver group in 20 years with Antonio Brown to then remove Antonio Brown, and now it's one of the worst. It's not one of the worst. This isn't throwing the ball to Doug Gabriel and Rashay Caldwell. This isn't throwing the ball to Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins. Edelman is maybe Brady's favorite receiver of all time. Dorsett and Gordon are more than serviceable. But yeah, what another guy who can put those, who can make Gordon the third receiver and make Dorsett the fourth receiver? Yeah, that's needed. I would take A.J. Green or Stephon Diggs, either one.
There's no, it's no accident that when Dorsett was called upon to be that number three guy
yep.
or whatnot, it's going to be harder for him. And
yeah.
I get it. And he found a perfect niche for himself as the third or fourth receiver.
Right.
And Brady absolutely exploited the mismatch. So, yeah, again, I'm with you. I wouldn't call this a terrible receiving core.
That's
right now.
Starting to become a little overstated,
right.
Like how
yeah.
bad
but,
they are.
But
let's talk about
you're an Edelman
options.
Injury
okay.
away from
oh.
not being
oh,
good.
Yeah, specifically Edelman.
Right.
Like, if you lose Edelman, because for the last several
and what
years.
What he's probably playing through right now.
Yep.
Which, again, early in the season, I wonder why they're doing that. But you just look at the last handful of years, you needed Edelman or Gronk. And if you had both, great. You're really hard to beat mm-hmm. when you had both. And if you didn't have Edelman, we saw what happened ultimately, right? Like Edelman was actually more important than Gronk. Like I think just the way the offense
right.
was going, you can go back and look at the wins and losses and the big games and everything else. But if you didn't have either one of those guys, you were screwed. And now that you already go into the year without Gronk, there isn't that second favorite target for Brady. So much of it now relies on Julian Edelman.
Well, let's look at options. A.J. Green. The Bengals are sitting there at 0-5. He's a week or two away from theoretically being able to play again, supposedly.
Right.
He supposedly told the media in Cincinnati he doesn't want to leave. He wants to be a Bengal, which says something about him, I guess.
Well, he's loyal.
He's loyal.
He got drafted by them. He spent his whole career there. And why would you say otherwise?
But he also says he understands. He,
right.
You know, he understands the state of the team, the state of the business. He would not be surprised if he was dealt. So you've got Green on the list. Now, Stephon Diggs, there's a whole bunch of back and forth here about whether he wants to leave, whether he doesn't want to leave. You know, when he pulled his little wildcat strike, it certainly seemed as though
seems like he wants out.
I would think Stephon Diggs wants out.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't, but then he winks.
Yeah,
the other name that I've heard brought up recently is O.J. Howard of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's in Bruce Arians' doghouse, played for Nick Saban, so
right.
You know that. You know, Belichick's got the pipeline on information about O.J. Howard. Still on his rookie deal, so the numbers will probably work for you here. You know, is he a guy who, with a change of scenery, could suddenly, you know, pick it up here?
I mean, he was good in college, but who wasn't? Mm. So I just feel like I'm falling in love with the receivers, and I know they have nothing at tight end, and so maybe O.J. Howard comes in here and he gives you an upgrade there at tight
right.
end. But what's one of the things that Brady has talked about over and over again is
veterans.
The veteran guys. He wants
yep.
the veteran guys.
Right.
What's Howard in? Year three, right? I don't know if would he consider him that. And he's also missed some games due to injury the previous couple of seasons. So, yeah, he's better than Izzo and Lacoste. But guess what? Benjamin Watson probably was slightly better than those guys, too.
He is. But if you combine the cap numbers for Izzo and for the two of them, it's less than what Ben Watson was. So is that the situation that you want in terms of those receivers? You know, you almost have to. They can work so many different formations with three receivers, even four receivers,
yeah.
and then throw James White into the mix. He's averaging, what, 4.5 catches a game. So there's so many, but I think what might be, or maybe it's just a pipe dream on part of us watching the Patriots, I think the names of receivers out there excite you more than the names of the tight ends that might be available.
I do like Tyler Eifert a little bit more
Agreed.
Than O.J. Howard, and I think Brady would like him more, too.
Agreed.
So that's another guy. That's probably the high name for me on tight ends. But
difference would be the number.
Difference, yeah, but that's fine. I think they can figure
Howard,
that out.
Though, playing under the
Eifert actually
deal.
Is not – but Howard was a first-round pick. I bet Eifert and Howard isn't that drastic.
Yeah.
I bet they're pretty similar. And then Emmanuel Sanders obviously is another name that has come up, and
yep.
I know – sort of conflicting reports. Fourier said his source
his
telling
insiders.
Him they're not going anywhere, but then Ian Rapoport said that everybody but Von Miller is on the block. So we'll see.
Todd's in Middletown. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Todd, what's going on?
You guys touched up base on it before the break about how to get Diggs and Brown at the same time. I mean, we just restructured a little bit for the salary cap, and we could restructure again for a veteran contract that would free up some more space. I mean, getting Diggs would probably be like a second and a fourth rounder, and then have the space for that. And then having Brown, I feel like the Patriots are just biding time right now. I know he got let go because of what he did in a Patriots uniform. But I think once things settle down maybe a little bit, hopefully, that they might re-sign him. I mean, all indications in Brady's press conferences and so on are like subtle hints and jabs at he wants to get things done now, and he wants to have the support around him. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Tom Brady can call a lot of shots, or at least put his opinion in on shots, but he can't control what the NFL does. You re-sign Antonio Brown, you run the very real risk of them putting him on the exempt list. So where are you?
It's
after
why
that?
Nobody else is going near him now either.
Right,
and it wouldn't be different here.
No,
you run the exact same risk.
Right.
Because I honestly do think that's what's going to happen.
But
if the
risk,
team signs him, I think he's going on the exempt list.
Yeah, and you might be right. It's hard to tell what the NFL would do, but the risk is less for the Patriots than the other teams because the Patriots are paying him. The other teams aren't right now. And so if you go on the exempt list, it's a paid list that you're
but
on.
But that's been decided already that he's getting that money.
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah,
every legal guy,
it's
guaranteed. It's $9 million guaranteed.
It's a
signing bonus.
Right.
And even the $1 million base salary, I think he's going to get because they did guarantee it to him. So almost everybody everybody who has looked into it, like Michael McCann and Daniel Wallach and those guys, say they might have to fight for it,
yeah.
but he's getting it.
Yeah, they make it difficult for him to get it, but they
right.
might. You know, the lawyers are on retainer anyway for the Patriots, so it's not a big deal. But I just, you know, what does it get you this year if you re-sign him? What does it get you? I still think it gets you
a Super Bowl.
On the exempt list.
I don't think he goes to the exempt list.
I do.
You don't think the NFL would do that?
I don't think that they would. No, not unless something new comes up, and that's the risk that you run with Antonio Brown.
Well,
that something new could come up.
See, that's the thing.
Right.
I think you're dealing with more than one allegation.
Yeah.
You've got the civil case with Brittany Taylor. Then you've got, and it's not even in question about whether.
But they
he included the artist in the text chain.
But
that's a.
They interviewed Brittany Taylor on a Monday for 10 hours, and he was practicing on Friday. So she obviously didn't give him enough to put him on the exempt list then.
No, but I disagree with you. I think
how the hell would he not play?
They don't just haul him in immediately.
So then, obviously, but my point is it wasn't that bad.
Well, no, I think that they're investigating.
So they would have let him play on Sunday.
Yeah, until they investigate what she gave him.
So then play him now, and then maybe the investigation comes to an end on February 15th. Well, what do you mean?
Unless she drops it, it's not going to come to an end.
It's not going to come to an end when?
By Super Bowl.
Right, that's my point. So then, if you're waiting for the investigation to be over, then can't he play between now and February?
That's assuming that the only reason that they will put him on the exempt list is that civil suit.
It's her. I think the text chain thing was the nail in the coffin.
Both for the Patriots and for the league.
But the text chain, I don't think, would put him on the exempt list.
No, I think the combination does.
No, see, I don't.
Nobody else is going near him either, and I think there's a reason.
Well, that's a reason, but don't you think other teams say, well, it didn't work for the Patriots, why would it
sure.
work here? And he threatened to fight the GM of the Raiders.
Why would the Patriots say, it didn't work here, why do we think it's going to work if we bring
Brady's
him back?
Brady's desperate to have him back.
Well, Brady is.
Yeah.
I don't think Robert Kraft is.
I would think you'd want to make your quarterback happy. And if all these trades for A.J. Green and Emmanuel Sanders fall through,
would you make them happy at the expense of... I understand that completely because that happened. It's not a secret that the better you are, the more chances you get.
Right.
It's not a secret at all. You just wonder if if that's something that, and we saw that, didn't Kraft's lawyers just sue the
Florida for Broward County.
Keep that
County,
tape
so,
hidden.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of things going on there that might may or may not add to the equation.
617-779-7937. Peter King joins us at the bottom of the hour. Steve DeAssi's in the house with Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.